Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Come to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come into your presence this evening. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, Lord, you've given us this day. And Lord, as we come to you, Lord, we ask you that you would come and meet with us, Lord, here. That you would bless your word, Lord, as we hear it preached. You would bless our brother, the Reverend Leckie, Lord, as he would bring your word. You would fill him with the Spirit of God and with power. And Lord, as he would preach, O God, that our hearts would be open and receptive to your word. And Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, Lord. You would strengthen us, O God, and you would lead us on with yourself. So Lord, come and bless us. Come, Lord, and glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you will be uplifted, Lord, and magnified in this meeting. This day we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading is taken from Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to commence at the verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which the Lord had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word. We're going to come to our hymn now, that lovely hymn, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay."
Say it is a joy to be here with you. I want to thank Mr. McElrath for his words of invitation. And perhaps we'll just turn back to that wonderful chapter which we read from a few moments ago, Genesis chapter 22, and consider it more deeply. You know, I made a few discoveries recently. I made two discoveries, one which is very pleasant and the other not so much. The first one was I discovered or rediscovered the joy of walking in the Mourne Mountains. And it's wonderful to get up there into the clean air and to clear your head and to enjoy the views. And that was the pleasant one. The second discovery was that my father, who's 30 years older than I, could get up the mountain a whole lot quicker than I can. And that was a bit of an embarrassment. But today we're going to walk in the mountains with Abraham and Isaac in the mountains of Judea. And Genesis chapter 22 it doesn't just contain a mountain, it's like a mountain itself standing over the preceding and the following chapters. And Genesis chapter 2 is magnificent to look at, but it's even better to look down from the heights of this chapter. Because when Abraham got to the top of Genesis chapter 22, he saw things that he had never seen before. And standing on top of this great chapter, you see a great panorama of spiritual truths. Can I say also that this chapter is a mighty dangerous mountain? It's not for the faint-hearted. There's many people have read Genesis chapter 22 and they've come away thinking some strange things about the Lord. But that would be wrong, because when you stand at the top of this chapter and you look, you see the love of God in Christ in ways that you will see it nowhere else in the Word of God. And so tonight I just simply want to work our way up through this chapter with Abraham and Isaac and take in some of the stunning views that you see along the way. The first thing I would like you to notice is the awful test in this that we have in this chapter. The test that was given to Abraham. It's a good rule in life to test before you trust. That's a good rule of thumb. We test the materials that we use before we use them. We test the steel and the aluminium. We test the methods that we use before we employ them. We test the machines that we use before we would put them into operation. And we test the men, don't we? We test people. We're looking for someone to take a job. We're looking for qualifications. We're looking for experience. We test before we trust. Now, the Lord is going to set Abraham a mighty big task, but before he sets Abraham this task, he tests him. Verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And that's, of course, an unfortunate choice of word, you could say, because tempting, of course, would remind us of the temptations that the devil places upon us to sin. But the word tempt there in verse 1 just simply means test. And there is a huge difference between the tests that the Lord sets us and the temptations of Satan. The devil always tempts us to bring out the worst, whereas the Lord tests us to bring out the best. Maybe there's a Christian here and you're in the Lord's test center. Tonight you're going through a difficult test. Can I say that the Lord has placed you there to make you rather than to break you? Maybe it doesn't feel like that, but that's the case. Now, can I say this, that the Lord doesn't need to test our faith for His information. Our Heavenly Father knows His children, and He knows our faith, and He knows our lack of faith. He sets us tests so that we can see, so that we can come to an understanding of our progress and our strength in the Christian walk. And this is a test for His servant Abraham. Of course, the sensible question would be, was this test necessary? After all, Abraham was a man of great faith. He was the father of the faithful. But the previous chapters to this, and we wish you had time to read them, but if you did, you would discover that Abraham's faith wobbled. You see, the Lord had spoken to Abraham many times when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, and then in Genesis chapter 12, and chapter 13, and chapter 15, and chapter 17, and chapter 18. And each time that the Lord spoke to Abraham and promised him a son and a nation through that son, we find that shortly after, Abraham's faith wobbles and he expresses doubts. And so a test is necessary. But what a test this was. What an awful test this was for Abraham. Look at verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Burn your only son upon the altar. The most precious thing that you possess, dearer than your own soul, the son that is long awaited, the son that is longed for, the son that was prayed for and hoped for, and now in an arbitrary way, the Lord says, put him to death. And if you look at the word son in verse 2, you'll see it's in italics. Take thine only Isaac. Do you feel the strength of the text? The Lord has asked the impossible of Abraham. He would much rather have given his own life. You know, folks, the Lord hardly ever asks us to give up everything for Him. Hardly ever. But He does ask us to be willing. He asks us to be willing. And something really stands out in this chapter if you read it through with care. The number of times the word son appears. It appears in verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and verse 12 and verse 13 and verse 16. And you can peruse those at your own time. And over again in this chapter, we have the term, thy son, his son, my son. And Isaac, the word Isaac never occurs without being added to with the word son. Now this, folks, is not for our information because we know that Isaac is Abraham's son. This word, rather, is for impact. Like a hammer drill, the Lord is hammering in a certain point into our consciousness. We see the picture, father and son, father and son, father and son. And to our mind is driven in the thought of the deep and the tender relationship between Isaac and his father. The little baby in the arms, baby Yitzhak. The young boy in his father's knee. The young lad standing beside Abraham looking out at the sheep. Maybe the young man learning how to manage the business. What an awful test. What an awful test. But then I want you to see that there's an amazing trust. You see, folks, the tests in life that we go through, they're not like an exam paper in school. You don't get to go in and sit at a tubular steel desk and have a paper before you and know when the test starts and know when the test is going to end and be able to look down at the paper and say, well, this is a mathematics exam. I know that I'm going to get tested in mathematics. We don't get that sort of a heads up in the test that we have to go through. And we know that Abraham was being tested, but Abraham didn't. And yet, one of the wonderful views from this chapter is the amazing faith that Abraham has in this test. Verse 3, he rose up early. He didn't take a lie in that day. No. He rose up early. He set his alarm for 6 a.m. in the morning. He had his supper. He went to sleep on it, and he got up, and he did exactly what God told him to do. And folks, can I say, if God tells you to do something, sleep on it, certainly, but get up and do it the way he tells you. I recall once setting a fleece out in my life. I asked the Lord, if you want me to do a certain thing, can you make a certain man come to my house? And I'd hardly finished praying when the doorbell rang. And the man was standing there. I didn't ask him, I didn't invite him, I didn't call him, but God brought him. The problem was I lacked the courage to do what I knew I had to do. And I've lived forever with regret for that. God tells you to do something, do it immediately. By Genesis chapter 22, Abraham is through with his unbelief, he's through with his doubts, and he's decided that he's going to trust God fully. And he not only began well, but he continued well. If you look at verse 4, it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. The third day, what a long, drawn-out process this was. Other men would have wilted the first day. That have been turning it over in their mind, that have been thinking of the family pictures of little Isaac and that have stopped. But Abraham is victorious in his faith. And look at what he says in verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Man, is that not magnificent? We're going to go and we're both going to come back. We're both going to come back. I'm going to tell you, God, or Abraham believed that God would intervene and supernaturally. Over in Hebrews, we have that wonderful verse, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead. What amazing faith. It took Abraham 100 years, but finally Abraham learned the lesson that he ought to take God's word at face value, no matter what the appearances were. God promised so many times that Isaac would be the one through which the nation of Israel would come. And Abraham decided he was going to believe it. You know, you often find that when God is going to test you, he gives you the tools, he gives you the promises beforehand to bring you through that test. There's only one way to face a huge test that towers over you, and that's with absolute trust in God's word. Abraham trusted. Oh, there was the awful test and then the amazing trust. But I want you to see here there's an awesome truth. Folks, whenever you go walking in the mountains, I don't know how you do it if you do it, but I go in stages. I go a bit and I stop and I catch my breath and I stop panting, and while I'm doing that, I look out and enjoy the view. And as you rise further into the mountains, the view gets better. You can see further, it's more dramatic. And that's precisely the same here. We stopped in verse 5 and we've seen Abraham's wonderful faith. I and Isaac will both come again. But then when you go a bit further to verse 8, you see an even greater view. You see, Isaac, as he's walking away, he asks the obvious question, Father, what about the sacrifice? We've got everything else. What about the sacrifice? And in verse 8, you'll see how Abraham answers. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, I put it to you folks that Abraham's becoming a little bit clearer in his perception. I put it to you folks that these words are prophetic words about the distant future. They're not really an answer to Isaac's question. You see, if you look down at verse 13, you'll see that God did provide a substitute, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket. The Lord did not provide a lamb as a substitute for Isaac, because the word for lamb is the word for a tender young sheep. God provided a ram, a strong, mature male is a different word. And in verse 8, Abraham is not so much answering his son's question. He is in deep, contemplative, prophetic thought. And he's thinking about the distant future. He's thinking about Calvary, the Lamb crucified, so that not just Isaac, but so that all God's people could escape. You see, as he gets up the mountain, he's able to see further now. This is not just a test of Abraham's personal faith. This is something bigger and grander and deeper and better. You begin to see why the Holy Spirit hammers in that word, son, son, son. This is not just Abraham and his son. This is God the Father and God the Son. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise his son. He hath put his son to grief. And thou shalt make the son's soul an offering for sin. You see, the burning question in Genesis chapter 22 is not how could Abraham slay Isaac. It's how could the father slay the only begotten son. What could possibly induce God the Father to slay his only begotten son? And the answer has rung back through all the ages of time. Love for sinners. Love for you. Love for me. But when you go a little bit further and you arrive at the top, there's an even better view. You see, folks, there, going through verse 9 and verse 10, the altar's constructed, the fuel is arranged, the son is bound and the knife is drawn. But just before the downward stab of the knife, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Isaac's life is spared. The ram is put in his place. What's the view from the summit? What's the view from the summit? I'll tell you what it is. A young man rising victoriously out of the place of death. I put it to you that there is possibly no such view of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as you'll see here. Maybe not even in all the Scriptures. That's the task that God gave to Abraham. To show for thousands of years to come to millions of people across the world, perhaps the clearest view of God's plan of salvation, of the beloved Son going into the jaws of death and rising in victory. Yeah. I believe that Abraham got a clear view of the cross that day. Why? Because if you look in verse 14, it says, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What shall be seen? What? It shall be seen. Isn't it obvious? The greatest event that has ever taken place, the greatest event that towers over every other event, the one event that needs no introduction and needs no qualification, the single most important thing ever to happen on planet Earth, Calvary. I believe he saw Calvary. Listen, Christian, you don't know who's looking on in your time of testing. Maybe, just maybe, God has an audience watching you, and he's going to show them through your victory in the time of testing your faith and your new life and the glory of God's salvation purchased at Calvary. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for what we see in Holy Scripture. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this picture, Abraham and Isaac, picturing a far, far greater event, Christ on Calvary and Christ rising in victory. Help us through the tests of time. Help us to hold on by faith. Give us that gift of strong faith that we may glorify thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.